Arizona Sports. The local sports leader. Burns and Gambo. The 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort AC and Plumbing. Home of the No Worry Air Conditioning, Heating, Plumbing, and Water Services since 1985. 4 o'clock reset.
All right, we're at the turn here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Halfway home on this Thursday afternoon. Mitch Vareldis is manning the 4 o'clock reset update desk with Eric Ruby. No idea. Where is Ruby today?
I'm using two hands. Right. I think it is his fiance's birthday today.
Oh,
nice. So a personal day for Ruby.
Okay. Good for him for prioritizing things like that.
Work-life balance is very difficult in this country. You got to take that day and enjoy it with your fiance.
Amen to that. So, Mitch, you've got...
I can't wait to spend the day off with my fiance. Oh,
oops, sorry. You don't have one of those?
No, doesn't have one of those yet. We're working on that. Mitch, you have the con. Take us through the top stories of the day. What do you got?
Tell you what, I'm actually going to toss the con right back over to Gambo, because he's got some developing Suns news that he wants to share.
Well, what I'm saying is I'm addressing some of the DeAndre Ayton rumors, and I'm saying that the Suns had not been willing to move DA all summer because they like his fit, and there were no offers that would change that. I'm saying if Yusuf Nurkic becomes available, I wouldn't be surprised if the Suns look into it. I wouldn't be surprised if the Suns look into Nurkic. Now, some people like him, some people don't. He sets screens well. He's very skilled. He's big. He grabs rebounds well. And, you know, he measures out as an above-average defender. A lot of people on Twitter are just saying, he's not a good defender. He's not. Ever since the broken leg, he definitely has been slower. But his metrics rate is an above-average player. But I'm just saying, keep your eye on it. If Damian Lillard gets traded, which I think is going to happen, I wouldn't be surprised if those discussions ensue.
Yeah. I had been advocating moving on for DeAndre Ayton, understanding full well that they just weren't getting the offers for him all summer. Now that it's come here, now that the bill has come due and this thing, I guess, could happen depending on what happens with Lillard, I'll be honest with you. After what had happened with the Bahamian team, I wanted to see DeAndre Ayton in the Suns uniform. I wanted to see what Frank Vogel could do with him. I wanted to see if he could make it work and make it fit, because DeAndre Ayton has more talent than Yusuf Nurkic. I really don't think that's debatable or disputable, but his willingness to do the things that Frank Vogel needs to be done, frankly, that might be higher with Nurkic than it is with Ayton. I wanted to see Ayton in this system with this coach to see if the coach could bring out something different in him, but I'm also the same guy who's been wanting them to move on from DeAndre Ayton for a long time, so if I get what I want, then I suppose I'll be happy when it's all said and done.
Switching over to the football field, the biggest story of the day comes out of the Lone Star State. Maybe it impacts this weekend's matchup for Cardinals-Cowboys, but the news, Cowboys star corner Trevon Diggs left today's practice in crutches, had an MRI later. The Cowboys confirmed a torn ACL, non-contact injury. They gave no definitive timetable for return. We assume he's done.
Yeah, that's what they're reporting in Dallas, that he has been diagnosed with that torn ACL, suffered during a one-on-one in practice, and that ACL tear is going to have him out for the season. So big blow to the Cowboys with their hopes of, you know, winning a Super Bowl. Not against the Cardinals this week. I think they should be fine, but as far as winning a Super Bowl, they're losing one of their key players.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of their three best players, four, five best players. I mean, wherever you want to draw the line, certainly he is one of their top players. I don't think it impacts this weekend unless there is some sort of a hangover effect throughout that organization, because it's always something with the Dallas Cowboys, and this is the latest installment in that. There's always something with them.
He was noted on the injury report as a limited participant. Obviously, that developed into what it is now. The rest of the injury report for Dallas, they got a few reinforcements back. Lineman Chuma Edoga and Tyler Smith, as well as wide receiver Brandon Cooks. For the Cardinals, it was literally the exact same as it was yesterday, so nothing new developing or added on their part. But how about Kyler Murray? He looks like he's itching to get back, because this is now back-to-back days with a social media post showing how much progress he's really made on that knee. On Instagram today, quote, "Cutthroat this time around, ... close quote. You got a good clean what look on that knee, too.
Was it a video?
It was just a picture.
No. It was
the first one.
It was actually an Instagram slideshow, and there were pictures, and okay, there was a video. There was a video of him running with one of those resistance bands him on the field, kind of holding him back.
No bench pressing, huh?
No bench press.
No pull ups.
There was a picture of him, and his legs just looked shredded.
Jacked
in a good way. Like, his legs just look absolutely jacked. So once again, he continues to prime the pump a little bit for this idea that he could be coming back. Yesterday it was the soon, you know, on his social media post. Now again, he's got two more games that he has to sit out.
Yes.
Then he could be activated off the pup. And then after that, I think they have 21 days to figure out what they're going to do with him. So it's no guarantee he's back in week five. But boy, he is certainly using social to make a lot of noise about where he is physically right
Seems
now.
Seems like it. Seems like it's like that soon. Like, you know, he doubled down.
Yeah.
He posted soon and he doubled down today showing more workouts.
Yeah.
I love to see it. Diamondbacks, let's look at the good baseball team right now. So they have 9 games left. It's really weird because it's all against the American League, but it's a big series tomorrow starting in the Bronx. But it was pointed out in your guys' email, and I can't remember if you've mentioned it already. Looks like they're going to miss out on American League Cy Young favorite Gerrit Cole. Thank goodness for that.
He has been amazing, and they are going to, because he pitches today against Toronto. So that is missing. He's going to win the American League Cy Young Award winner. So missing him is a big deal, because if you look at what he's done this season, he's like number one in like every category in the American League. He's having a great year. He's first in ERA, first in innings, first in opponent's batting average, second in opponent's batting average, and first in wins above replacement, and they're going to skip him. That's good.
Yeah, it's big news for them. Last night was a good night for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Every single team around them in the playoff chase lost. Today, the Reds are off, the Marlins are off, the Cubs are in action. In a game that starts in about a half hour against the Pirates. But as it stands right now, the Diamondbacks, the closest team to them in the playoff chase is the Cubs, who are 2 games back. 1 game in the loss column and then another game because of the tiebreaker the Diamondbacks hold. It's not a great lead that they've got, but it got padded a little bit yesterday because everybody else lost.
I saw this going around on social, and I just wanted to pass it along because Josh Roberts is a close friend of the both of y'all's, and he's, what is he, the president of Cooperstown now?
The Hall of Fame, yeah.
I saw him unboxing Corbin Carroll's jersey that arrived at the Hall of Fame today for accomplishing the 25-50 season yesterday. I thought that was pretty cool.
The jersey Corbin Carroll wore?
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Is at the Hall of Fame.
Really?
For 25 home runs, 50 stolen bases.
For being the one he was wearing when he got to 25-50.
Okay.
Because remember, first rookie in the history of baseball to do it, and only the 9th different player overall to do it?
Yeah, it's a very, very, very short list.
And it's a very, very impressive list of the guys who are on that list. So good for Carroll. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Also related to the Diamondbacks, and related more so to Mike Hazen. He declined to comment on the matter of the baseball ops job opening up in Boston, him being a reported favorite. Well, Derek Hall came on with Bickley and Murata this morning and said, on a scale of 1 to 10...
I think on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being very worried about him leaving, I'm a 0.
0 about him leaving. And then if asked if an extension is near with Hazen...
We start those talks very early on. We're very candid, very honest with one another. We're very close, and I'm confident he's going to be right here, and he's very happy to be here.
Sounds positive, if you ask me.
Sounds like there's not much to worry about.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything to worry about either. I mean, again, under contract for 2 years. Mike likes it here. They like Mike. That nugget on, we started talking 3 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, on a contract extension, you know, makes everybody believe that a contract extension is going to get done.
Yeah. I got to imagine, too, when you've made the shrewd move of promoting Corbin Carroll when you did, signing Corbin Carroll when you did, and then having Corbin Carroll work out the way he did, you're very inclined, if you're the Diamondbacks organization, to make sure that the cat who is responsible for that ain't going anywhere, right? And I imagine that drove a lot of that.
Let's run through some NFL stuff, and then one more thing after that. Andy Dalton expected to start this week for the Panthers. Bryce Young was announced as they did not participate at practice today, and they're already ruling him out Sunday with an ankle sprain. So they are taking it very, very slow with the prize possession in Carolina.
Off to a rough start.
Yeah.
Kid's off to a rough start. Dalton's a veteran. He's been around this league for a long time. He's not that good, but, you know, he'll come in and give them a chance to compete because he's a good veteran player. But Bryce Young off to a rough start, getting sacked a lot and just making a lot of mistakes.
First day of practice for Cincinnati, Joe Burrow was dressed. He was there, but his status for Monday is still TBD, according to head coach Zach Taylor.
They're on Monday Night Football?
Yes, they are, okay. Against the Rams. I believe that's a road game for
them. I believe you're correct, yes. Okay.
Aaron Jones, the running back for the Packers, he was back at practice. He missed last week due to a hamstring injury. Amon-Ra St. Brown was on the field. David Montgomery, unfortunately, was not, so tough fantasy week for you, Gambo, there.
But Amon Amon-Ra St. Brown was.
He was practicing today.
All right. That's good.
No sight of Anthony Richardson at practice, although that's expected. I believe he's in concussion protocol right now, so the Colts QB is down. And we're keeping a close eye on the Texans. They just lost cornerback Derek Stingley Jr. to a hamstring injury today. And then the division rival 49ers, they're going to be without ASU alum Brandon Ayuk tonight, who has been their leading pass catcher this season. Also, I really just wanted to touch on this because we finally heard from Travis Kelce himself about the Taylor Swift rumors.
It's true.
On Pat McAfee today.
This is happening, though? Yeah. You hate that this is happening?
No, I mean, it's life, baby. It's life. I threw it out there. I threw the ball in her court. And, you know, I told her, you know, maybe I've seen you rock the stage in Arrowhead. You might have to come see me rock the stage in Arrowhead and see which one's a little more lit. So we'll see. We'll see what happens in the near future.
Dog.
Travis! Hey!
All right, man.
All right now!
Travis! All right! That was awesome.
Good, good luck to you.
That's great. That's
good luck to you.
That's fantastic.
Are they similar age?
I bet they're close.
Everybody likes to point out that Kelce was born in 1989 and how that was one of Swift's most popular albums in recent years.
Yeah. So. She's 33.
Yeah, they're close. He's probably 29, 30.
Oh, he's got to be in his 30s by now.
He's 33.
Okay,
they're both 33.
They're both 33. Yeah. Good.
Seems to work. And I don't want to bury this. The Arizona Coyotes and us here at Arizona Sports announced that there is a one-year partnership extension with us here at Bonneville Phoenix. So more games, potential postseason games, and continued weeklies with head coach Andre Tourney, GM Bill Armstrong, and president and CEO Javier Gutierrez. Yep.
We were very happy to announce that on our airwaves on our show earlier today, a one-year extension to our agreement with the Arizona Coyotes. So congratulations to them, and we welcome them back into the fold. Not that they went anywhere, but they're back in for another year. And that is the 4 o'clock reset.
Yes, it is. We're all done.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, top story of the day, Phoenix Suns. Are they going to do the thing? And is the thing going to happen soon? The thing is trading DeAndre Ayton. We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Football fans have had this one circled on the calendar. The Sun Devils host the Trojans Saturday night in Tempe for a 7:30 kickoff. Hear pregame, play-by-play, and postgame on 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
All right, we're live from the Oxygen Community Studios on this surprisingly busy Thursday here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. In large part because if you missed the beginning of the show, we did the first 5 minutes of the show without Gambo because Gambo was off doing the Gambo thing. The sorcerer was at work. Huh. He was whipping up something special, and he waltzed in here about 5 minutes after the show started.
The sorcerer.
There it is.
Where's my Jared Dudley?
We've got lots of them in there. Oh. We're like on a rotation here. It's not the only one we've got in there. You just like that one because
I like the Dudley one
because he says really really nice things about
Gambos.
Gambo always reporting something.
Sources.
Gambo knows everything.
That's what it is. See, it's the Gambo knows everything part. Yeah, Gambo's like, play that again. I want everyone to know that I know everything.
Source Meister.
I like the Jared Dudley one. Keep playing that one over and over again. No, I'm kidding. No,
these are stressful days. Again, this is tough because I do expect Damian Lillard's going to get traded very soon.
This is the news that you were working the phones on, which caused you to be a few minutes late to the show.
What I've heard is that Damian Lillard is going to get traded very soon. It could be any minute. It could be tomorrow. It could be within a week. But it's going to happen. Like, it's going to happen very soon. When that happens, if Portland doesn't have Damian Lillard anymore, then they may look to start over, and then they could move Jokic. The Suns have not traded DeAndre Ayton all summer, right? July, August, we're September 21st, haven't traded him yet. And a lot of that is because they like him. They like DeAndre. They like the fit. Vogel wants a defensive-minded center in Ayton. And so they haven't traded him. But they also didn't get any good offers. I mean, there were teams that called, but nobody was willing to give them, 50 cents on the dollar. I mean, all the offers were not good. So if Damian Lillard gets traded, then I expect Portland to do some other things. And I do think one of them, from what I've heard, is I think Portland's going to look to move Jokic. What I'm saying is that if Jokic becomes available, I wouldn't be surprised if the Phoenix Suns have a discussion with Portland on Jokic. Because he's cheaper. He's a good player. I'm getting killed on Twitter because I said he's a defensive-minded guy. Okay, maybe he's not the defensive. I view him as an above average defender. He was better before the broken leg, but his metrics, he's a big guy and, you know, he rebounds the ball decently and, his metrics and numbers show that he's decent defensively. And a lot of people in Portland don't like him defensively. They know more than me. They watch him every single day. I don't. They know more than me. But, you know, what I've heard is he's a serviceable guy. He's a serviceable defensive player. He may not be an upgrade over DeAndre Ayton that way, but there are probably some other areas, setting screens, doing the little things, like you've talked about many times. And is he willing to do the things that the Suns need him to do more so than DeAndre would want them to do? So what I'm basically saying is that if Damian Lillard gets traded, then Portland might look to change things up and Jokic could be on the block. If Jokic is on the block, that's a different player than anybody the Suns have had discussions with before on DeAndre Ayton. I wouldn't be surprised if conversations are a part of that as well.
It's a remarkable turn of events, given that I think that the organization just sent out an email for media day coming up on October 2nd, I think was the day. That usually signifies the start of training camp. So, I mean, October 2nd is just a couple of weeks away. We're not that far off from that. And then we're not that, once that hits, we're not that far off from the preseason opener. When that hits, we're not that far open from the regular season opener. It didn't seem like there were any boxes left to check. It didn't seem like there was any business left to attend to for the Phoenix Suns. Everything looked set with their roster. They looked like they were done. This stuff that you're bringing to us here now, I think really, for me, really confirms the idea that the Suns just weren't getting any bites on DeAndre Ayton all summer long. And if they had gotten something even remotely interested, I think they might have moved on him earlier, because Yusuf Nurkic is fine. He's fine. I think he's a little bit better than serviceable, but he certainly doesn't bring the tools to the table that DeAndre Ayton does. But the thing with DeAndre Ayton that you just always have to worry about is just that kind of revolving door of passion and want to and desire and effort and energy. The hope was Frank Vogel was going to come in here. And I'm speaking of DeAndre Ayton like he's in the past tense. And I want to be careful about doing that because we're not sure this is going to happen. Okay. This is a possibility that could happen.
Yes, so I'm bringing it up that it is a possibility, for sure.
So I don't want to talk about DeAndre Ayton like he's gone, okay, because I think that would be a mistake. But I do also think that if DeAndre Ayton were here and we continue to get that kind of revolving door of effort from him, you don't want to waste a year of Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker on a DeAndre Ayton who's going to bring it 30 nights out of the year. 40 nights out of the year.
But what
right?
can like, we say about what, there was a lot of positives coming out of the Olympic qualifying tournament with him being
sure.
the leader and playing well. There was a lot to like.
In some ways, that changed my mind about it.
There was a lot
bit.
To like.
Yeah, in some ways, that made me say, specifically about the Bahamian team, okay, if he's that version on this team, I want to see that. Show me that. I'd like to try that out. I'd like to see if that's how he's going to play and if that's how he's going to be.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that on this team. There's part of me that'd be very disappointed if he moved, if he was traded, because I would be curious to see what a new coach and that kind of newfound energy, how that would translate to the Suns this year.
Yeah, I mean, I we may never get to know it if they do decide to explore something. Look, there's going to be... If Damian Lillard gets traded, there will be a domino effect, okay? It's not going to be a... I highly doubt that it'll be a one-team-for-one-team type of trade. I think there will be a lot of other moving parts, and that's where maybe the Suns could come in on that, too. So I do think there will be... Like, this will be a blockbuster. I think that there'll be a lot of teams, several teams that are involved and players going everywhere. And, you know, and even if the Suns do explore trading DeAndre Ayton for Nurkic, there will probably be more players involved in it too, not just those two guys.
Yeah. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the Dallas Cowboys trying to move to 3-0, the Arizona Cardinals stand in their way. Something else is standing in Dallas's way. It's the news today that came out of the organization, and it was really, really bad news. We'll tell you about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Hey, it's Wolf. How is Kyler Murray progressing, and when might the Cardinals franchise quarterback be back? We'll ask Cards GM Monty Ossenford tomorrow at 11:15.
That's coming up tomorrow. Today, the big news surrounding the Cardinals-Cowboys game is that Trayvon Diggs, the all-everything corner for the Dallas Cowboys, out for the season with a torn ACL. Suffered in practice today. Cowboys were very quick to announce it. There was not hardly any time for any speculation about it at all. It was reported that he was walking around in crutches, and shortly thereafter, maybe a half hour or so after that, it was reported by the Cowboys themselves that he was going to be out for the season. And again, as we've been saying all day, as we welcome you back in here, the short-term ramifications, in particular when it comes to Cowboys-Cardinals on Sunday, probably doesn't impact this weekend's game very much. It's the long-term implications for the Cowboys where it's the most Cowboy thing ever. And I'm not going to lament that. I don't like the Cowboys very much. I've not, you know, been shy about that on this show or right. on previous shows. I'm not a Cowboys fan.
You're not on America's team's bandwagon.
No, I'm not on America's team bandwagon. Mm-hmm. Look, my father, growing up, my father was a diehard Washington, then Redskins fan.
Oh, so they hated the Cowboys.
Oh, my God. Look, his love of the Washington franchise was nothing I ever embraced.
John Reagan's fan, right?
But huge. But he, and Joe Theismann, too. But his hatred of the Dallas Cowboys.
You didn't have that Ed Tootall Jones jersey when you were a kid?
Oh, my God. His, I
Drew
mean,
Pearson.
He taught us from a very early age, we do not root for the Dallas Cowboys. We do not do it.
Isn't that crazy how that sticks with you your whole life?
Totally.
Oh, right? Your whole life.
Big time.
Somebody in your family hates a team and you can, okay, yeah, I hate that team.
I hate that. I'm not going to love your team, but the team that you hate, okay, I'll get on that bandwagon too.
Right.
Yeah, I'll do that. Here's the thing. 3-0. Like we've been doing this a long time. And yeah. Every time you start 0-2, by this point we practically have it memorized. When you start 0-2,
9.6% chance.
Exactly. That I think that's exactly the number,
yeah,
right?
I think it is.
Said it so many times, it's like burned on our brain, right? The Cowboys are in a position to start the season 3-0. And you sent me this stat today. There have been, in the Super Bowl era, 155 teams to start off a season 3-0. Now, obviously, this has changed a little bit in the last couple of years because they expanded the season to 17 games. So 3-0 is a little different than it used to be. But if you look at all 155 teams in the Super Bowl era that started 3-0, 74% of them made the playoffs. 37% of them reached the Super Bowl. And then of those teams that reached the Super Bowl, 50% went on to win the Super Bowl.
One out of every three reached the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
One out of every three
teams that start 3-0. And yet, in the most Cowboy stat ever, the last two Dallas teams to start 3-0 didn't even make the playoffs.
Well, one out of every three out of the 42. That reached the Super Bowl, right? 42 of those. No, actually, one out of three.
Yeah, one out of three.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
42,
wow, that's incredible.
But when Dallas starts 3-0,
yeah,
and they've done it twice, 2008 and 2019, they didn't make the playoffs.
That's the most Cowboy stat in the history of Dallas.
Jason Garrett had him at 3-0 in 2019. 4 years ago, they finished 9-7, so they went 6-7 after that. They missed the playoffs. That obviously led to them getting rid of Garrett and bringing in Mike McCarthy. So that's the last time that they were 3-0. Garrett was 3-0, but again, finished 9-7. They fire him, they go with McCarthy.
Yeah, and so for the Cowboys, and honestly, I think that little nugget kind of plays right into what the Cowboys are probably going to be 3-0. And based off of these numbers, we could probably project the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs. Are they, though, when they're missing Trayvon Diggs? Are they, the guy we had on from Dallas in the interview that we recorded, but we couldn't play because it happened before the Trayvon Diggs injury, and we just didn't think it made any sense to play it back. He pointed out that there's a belief in that there is such an excitement level in Dallas about the Cowboys right now. Again, this was pre-Trayvon Diggs, that nobody wanted to talk about the negatives. Like, we asked him about the red zone failures. He's like, yeah, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody's talking about that. All they're talking about is this the best team in the last 25 years the Dallas Cowboys have fielded? And up until about, I don't know, 3.5 hours ago, I think Dallas thought that about their Cowboys.
This is a big blow.
This is a best team. And now they've lost Trayvon Diggs. It's a big blow.
Of course, it's a big blow. It's better that this happens early in some ways than it happens later. You've got a lot of time now to figure out who could replace him, and you've also got a trade deadline coming up that you can address and make a trade. So I think that's, Dallas, if they're playing well, they should be all in. You want to give up a first-round pick for a quarterback? Yeah, you try to win a Super Bowl. Jerry Jones doesn't get any younger. So this could be a team that goes all in and trades a good pick in order to go get a player that could replace Trayvon Diggs, even if it's only for a rental, only for a one-year guy. So it's much better for them that this happened now than this happened after the trade deadline, or with three games left or two games left. It's better for Diggs because this helps him come back next year. If this happened in December, it's a lot harder to come back next year. You probably miss time. But when it happens early in the season, you still got, you'll probably have surgery before the month's over. You got all of October, November, December while the season's going on to start your recovery.
Yeah.
So I think that I think there are some positives out of it, but the main one is you've got 15 more games to figure out who could play that cornerback spot with him gone.
Yeah, and I'm reading stuff coming out of Dallas right now. Scale of one, that this is on The Athletic. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, how tough is this injury on Dallas defense? One of the Cowboys writers calls it an 8. The other calls it a 9. Does this setback force a hard hit on the brakes with Super Bowl talk? One guy said, it wouldn't say it's a hard hit on the brakes, but certainly they're one of the top three teams in the NFC, but this certainly is difficult. And then the other guy says, I don't even know if they would have made the Super Bowl if Diggs was healthy or not. Now, in the short term, how does this impact the Cardinals game on Sunday? That's hard to know because Dallas' defense, and you sent me a story today, and it was all about Micah Parsons, compared himself to a lion.
He made
it sound like those National Geographic videos that you love to watch. Where I do love to watch a lion chases down a gazelle,
man,
and basically eats it on live TV. And he's like, so he's comparing.
Zebra or a gazelle or something.
He's comparing himself to that. There are other ballers on the Cowboys defense as well. But I'll say this about the Cardinals. The Cardinals have been, while they're 0-2, the Cardinals have been a pleasant surprise with their level of competitiveness so far in these first two games. Does that go out the window this weekend? Are they still surprisingly competitive?
Boy, I'll tell you, if they're competitive against this team is a lot different than being competitive against the Giants Washington.
Damn right. Yep.
I mean, it's a whole different story. To be competitive against this team,
yeah.
You know, listen, what are we learning? We need time to learn Jonathan Gannon, right, and his staff. But we do know through two games, they played hard. They didn't win. They did collapse against the Giants, a total collapse. But we do know that they play hard. They show up to play. And on any given Sunday, they might be able to beat somebody. Now, I'm not saying it could beat Dallas. I don't think they have a chance to beat Dallas. But if they play hard and they're competitive in this game, we're sitting for victories. You got to win football games. But I just think that that would continue to build something with him where the players can be like, hey, you know what? Yeah, we didn't beat Dallas, but man, we gave them a run for their money. That was not. You come here, we're going to give you a run for your money. It's going to be a tough place to come play.
Yeah, I totally agree that competitive against the Dallas Cowboys speaks to us on a different level. It's just different than competitive against the Giants or competitive against the Commanders. Queens of the Stone Age just announced the End is Nero tour coming to Arizona Financial Theater on December 5th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. You can win a pair of tickets now by visiting the contest page at arizonasports.com. So knowing that one of the key players on the Dallas defense is out, how does that change how we view some of the individual matchups in this game? We'll go through some of the bigger ones next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Hey, it's Luke. There's just 9 games left, so what do the Arizona Diamondbacks have to do on their final road trip of the season to secure a playoff spot? We'll get going tomorrow at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
All right, let's get an update on our social media poll of the day. For that, we turn it back over to Mitch, who's running the show today here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Take it away, sir.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Social Poll Update.
Presented by Sanderson Ford.
All right, so I got to admit, we rolled this out earlier in the show, and it's kind of a bit of a blur to me, even what the results of it were, because we were
almost forgot we put out a poll question today, to be honest.
Right, like, because it was right in the middle of...
It's a crazy day.
Javier Gutierrez was on at 2:30 with the announcement that the Coyotes are back with us here at Arizona Sports for another year. And then we did the Twitter poll.
We had, like, mandatory training today, we had meeting after meeting after meeting.
We've been a bunch of busy bees today.
We have. Yeah. And then Gambo had the Sun
Suns news in the very next segment. So we've got a moment here to let this one breathe a little bit.
A little bit.
What's the poll question?
Can I throw the curveball question at the end? It's not out there, but I'm just curious of a 1-2. Anyway, I'll do the one that's up there on X right now.
Okay,
which is, which of the two football teams between ASU and the Cardinals is more likely to pull off an upset this weekend against their heavily favored opponent? And we do emphasize heavily favored.
And of course, we're not letting you choose neither, because everybody would vote for neither.
That is not allowed on this poll question.
It's Cardinals. Easy.
Yes, easy. I agree.
And not just because USC is a 33.5-point favorite against ASU, a number which absolutely made Gambo's bro. What's that noise your brain makes when it... That noise right there. Yeah, yeah. No, it's the Cardinals. It's the NFL. So it's
any given Sunday.
Stuff like that happens all the time in the NFL. It's a little more rare in college football. What's our audience
saying? And the fans are kind of leaning that way, too, whether they believe any given Sunday or not. They think that the Cardinals are more likely to pull off the upset against the heavily favored opponent. 79.3% of them, in fact. 20.7% going with ASU against USC. The one I was just going to throw out there is, who would you rather have as the center of the Suns next season between DeAndre Ayton or Yusuf Nurkic?
Sorry, that was my Dan Bickley. Laugh. Wow. Oh.
And it's not up there yet. I'm just throwing this out there right now for you.
I'd rather have DeAndre Ayton. But I say that.
I think I'd rather have DeAndre Ayton too.
I think I would.
I think I'd rather have DeAndre. They are different in what they do. You know, I think Jokic would absolutely be more accepting of a role, and he's good screener, good passer, decent, good rebounder.
Honestly,
I think DeAndre's got more upside and potential.
In a perfect world, and I know we're not living in one. God knows we're not living in one. In a perfect world, you keep DeAndre for a month or two, you know, until about the midway point of the season, which is, 41 games? Usually that's middle of January or so, about a month before the trade deadline when you get to the halfway point. Ideally, you keep DeAndre Ayton for a month or two, or two and a half, or whatever, and you just see. You see how he responds to different coaching. You see how he responds to a different voice. You see how he responds to what he's being asked to do, and what sort of energy level he brings and attention to detail he brings. And then you do something like this. You know what I mean? Like, I'd almost rather have DeAndre Ayton audition in this new role that this organization wants him to play before pulling the trigger on something like this.
And listen, understand what I'm saying. I would not be surprised if Damian Lillard gets traded and he's not on Portland, that Portland would blow things up and look to trade Jokic, and if he becomes available, that could be somebody that would interest the Phoenix Suns. That could be somebody that would interest them. Now, if a deal doesn't get done, it doesn't get done. But everything would be contingent on Dame being gone, because Portland has not wanted DA in the past. And I think part of that was with Dame there. They just didn't see that as the best fit. But if Dame's not on that roster anymore, they might just go ahead and just blow everything up.
Yeah. And we're going to go into great detail in the next segment, so stay with us, about what is going on with the Suns and the Blazers. But basically, the Cliff Notes version of it is that Dame Lillard could get moved. According to your sources, it could happen any moment. And when it does, there's a potential domino effect. And that potential domino effect could involve more trades off of the Portland roster, including one in which potentially DeAndre Ayton goes to Portland and Yusuf Nurkic comes here. Now, the numbers don't match. There'd have to be more. There'd have to be other players involved. But it's certainly, our radar is on, and we are keeping an eye out for something like that. And this is all based off of the reporting that you've done as of late. So that might be a good poll question for tomorrow, honestly, depending on... Or did you already put it out there? Mitch just gave me this, oh, crap, it's already out there look. It's fine. No, it's fine. It's fine. Why not? It's fine. It's fine. Put it out there. Why not? You know, we'll just.
I'll save it for Instagram stories tomorrow.
We'll just update it tomorrow. We'll just see. We'll just see what they say tomorrow.
Would you rather have? Okay, I'll repost that one. What was the other one he put out there
about the bigger? Who's more likely to score the big upset this weekend? ASU.
Oh, okay.
The Cardinals. Yeah.
Right.
If it's going to be the Cardinals, it's scouring through the Dallas media, looking for what they think about the Cardinals in all of this. And granted, it's going to be really hard now because all the stories coming out of Dallas are about Trayvon Diggs and his season-ending injury. The two players that it seems like get mentioned the most, especially now with Buddha being hurt and obviously with Kyler being hurt, the two players that are getting talked about the most as players to watch are James Conner and Marquise Brown. Those are the two guys that in Dallas, and now we'll get really specific into the Conner stuff coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, but needless to say, he's been a real standout player for the Cards the first 2 weeks, but the Dallas rushing defense has been really good as well. But those two players seem to be the ones that Dallas is kind of focusing on as if to say, if they're going to give us trouble, if the Cardinals are going to cause us problems, it's going to start with those two guys. Yes. Those are the two guys. Now, I don't know if I'd put Marquise Brown in there. I think I might put Zach Ertz in there first.
Because of how much they target Ertz?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of how much they throw to Ertz. I think I'd probably have him in over Hollywood Brown, but that's just me.
Amazing how much they've targeted Ertz in these two games. Eventually, teams are going to pick that up and say, okay, they're targeting Ertz all the time, and they'll take that away. A good defensive team like Dallas might be able to take that away. They might be able to say, oh, yeah, no, we want you throwing the ball down the field to Hollywood Brown because we want our pass rush to get it. So we're going to take away Ertz. He's not going to be a factor in the game. So good defensive teams, 2 weeks in a row now, you've got film to look at. They like to go to Ertz. I don't think that this trend continues with Zach Ertz, especially against a better defensive team.
No, and I also think that a really good pass-catching tight end is very oftentimes a young quarterback's best friend in the whole world.
Check down. Right? Give me that running back. Give me that tight end. I need to make a short pass, yep. And even if I get 4 yards, I need to live to play another play.
It's such a safety blanket. It really is. It's just such a security blanket, I should say. And Josh Dobbs is still a young quarterback, still finding his way in this league. He's not a grizzled veteran by any stretch. I just think guys like, and if Clayton Tune were the quarterback, I'd say the same thing. It's the tight ends, the running backs out of the backfield. That is your absolute best friend when you're a young quarterback trying to find your way in any offense. I think that more than anything is the why Zach Ertz is getting as many targets as he is. Because it's just so easy for a young quarterback to look for a guy like that. That's what
right.
I think. So
yep.
We'll talk more about the Conner stuff. When we come back here on the Burns and Gambo show, we dive headfirst into everything that we've been kind of talking about when it comes to the Phoenix Suns, DeAndre Ayton, Yusef Nurkic. Are the Phoenix Suns on the verge of another big off-season move when the season is just about a month away? Stay tuned for the very latest. We'll talk about it next on Burns and Gambo.